Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You'd be proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today. Great deal for all the players in the league and everything else.
Oh, I see him looking. I'm closing.
I was born in it. Molded by it.
Yeah, so they got to wake up with their piss out.
You talking about Rasul?
Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog.
Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog.
You're listening to Poor Man's Packers Podcast. Go Pack, go.
Good night, man. I'm so excited. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined once again with Andrew. Andrew?
Hello.
Hello. And once again, we are recording over Zoom in the Twin Cities. We got pelted with some snow today and felt it was just probably a little bit easier if I didn't drive the 40 minutes or what would probably turn into an hour to drive to your place to record.
I mean, entirely across the metro, right? Like, I live on the south side. You go back to the north side, or essentially. So
no, I'm right? East. I mean, you are far west. But yeah.
Okay, east, west. Either way, across the metro, just the other directions. You know me. I'm not a directional guy. Never have been. Never claimed to be.
Mm-mm, no. But yes, we are recording because of the snow. What did we get, like 6 inches, 8 inches today?
Six plus, for sure. Yeah, I shoveled like three times in the back. So. Yeah,
not very cool. Not a very good week. Kind of leads into the game. Packers lost 33-40 to the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. Not very good. Season's pretty much over. I mean, entertaining for how bad the season's gone. I've enjoyed watching football most weeks. At least it's interesting and comes close. And we had, you know, some glimpses of Jordan Love, what he could be. But other than that, we did have our Thanksgiving last week. Andrew, how was your Thanksgiving?
We had both my fiance's family and my family here. So if anyone's listening, because I told everyone about the podcast, of course,
oh, God.
It was great. It was great. And I loved both environments mixing together.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't have changed a thing.
Perfect.
So,
I can't wait to talk about
it. I have
later,
to leave
it. Not recording.
I have to leave it at that.
Okay,
so, but I want to go back to something you said just now, it's been fun watching, and like it was a close game, whatever. I feel like how close all of our games have been this season that we've lost has been very, very symmetrical, but the opposite to the Vikings, where they've like been so close and they've somehow pulled out a win in these exact same like nail biter games. And it's just a bummer that we haven't been on the reverse side of that coin a few more times, or that they had as many times as they have, too. Because, like, every other game, they feel like they can lose, or probably more than every other game. And with us, it's almost every game we have a shot at winning until 45 seconds and it's over, you know?
Right, yeah. One way or another, there's always a couple plays away in most of these games. And like I've been saying, the Vikings this year are the 2019 Green Bay Packers, where they're winning games, they're not winning them pretty, and then they're getting blown out when they're, you know, facing some actual opponents at times too. So not too far off. But yeah, we will get into this week's episode. We'll do our normal pick six, the six plays that shaped the game, sponsored by Lynn Lake Brewing, which I looked it up to see because Packers play at noon, Vikings play at noon, so that could be blacked out, but it looks like the Viking game is on CBS and we're on Fox, so...
Oh, cool.
We'll have to see. I'm not 100% on that, but if not, we'll probably be at Lynn Lake. But we'll have our pick six for six plays that shape the game. We'll break down the offense and defense. We'll have take news for the week, talking about who else but Joe Barry and some of Matt's comments after the game about him and keeping him around in possible changes or lack thereof on the defensive side of the ball. We'll also have a little along with it. Devontae Adams, you know, what would this team be with him? How different could the season be? And maybe talk a little bit of what a rebuild really is. After that, we will have Is Kyle an Idiot? Some Packers trivia. And we will, of course, preview the Bears game. But first, pick six.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
Yeah! All right, pick six for the week. The Lynn Lake six-pack pick six of the week. Once again, if you are in the Twin Cities, head to Lynn Lake Brewing in Uptown Minneapolis, a great brewery. And if you need a place to watch the game on Sundays, I highly recommend going there. First pick six play. I mean, this was a pretty freaking crazy game. That first quarter, I think they said, was like the highest scoring first quarter since whenever. It was like in NFL history, like one of them. It was pretty crazy, especially when I think the over-under was set at like 42?
40 and a half.
40 and
a
half?
40 and a half, and I was like covered in the second minute of the second quarter or something like that. It was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, unreal. So getting on with that, the first pick six play, the first third down of the game for the Eagles, a third and 10. Jalen Hurts takes the snap, drops back, and what do you know? He decides to run it, something that he does quite a bit, and the defense probably should have been prepared for. Quay was spying but missed the tackle. Jalen scrambles, picks up 24 yards, and of course, eventually that drive, they score, making it 7-0 or 6-0. I don't remember which one they missed the extra point on, but they converted twice on third down in that series using Jalen Hurts' legs. Not very good, and it was just kind of showed you what the rest of the game was going to be. Obviously, historically bad day of defense from the Green Bay Packers.
Not only converted twice, but didn't he in that first series, didn't he have like 43 rushing yards or something stupid? Out of like the 89 yards of total offense they had, he rushed himself for like 43 of them or something. Both of his runs went for like 19 and 24. It was just ridiculous.
Yes, and I believe the first quarter ended with him over 100 yards rushing, which might have been an NFL record as well. Just
that's insane.
Incompetence all around. So yeah, that pretty bad start, but it kind of set the pace for what the game is going to be. And you know, moving on to the second pick six play after a Rodgers pick and the Eagles scoring after that makes it 13-0. And, you know, the Packers did get the ball back and scored. So right now the score is 7-13. Eagles ball. And this was kind of a big play. The Jalen Hurts failed fourth down sneak. They were on fourth and inches after a pretty solid play from JJ, I believe, to pull them back. But a very weird sneak attempt from the Eagles. They showed it on the replay to Jason Kelce, the center. Tried to snap it back to Hurts and kind of just got it trapped on his thigh. And then him, the running back, and Hurts were all kind of scrambling for the ball, trying to move it forward, but couldn't get that yard that they needed and turned the ball over on downs, which eventually led to a Packers touchdown, which made it 14-13. But pretty big play. Little surprising to see them go for it that close on their side of the field.
I mean, it just shows how little faith or like seriously they took our defense, which we didn't do anything for the most part to prove them otherwise. I mean, obviously a couple stops here and there, great. Mm-hmm. But it's like we're playing flag football or something.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty ridiculous either. Whichever which way you want to look at it. I mean, several times they went for it on fourth down, and it's like most years, anytime the opposing team goes for it on fourth down, I'm just assuming that they're going to pick it up. Moving on to the third pick six play, third and two for the Packers 45. Sorry, not the Packers, but on the Packers 45. For the Eagles, Hurts takes the snap. One, Preston Smith does not maintain containment on the edge. Hurts runs to the outside and very quickly picks up 42 yards, getting pushed out at the 5-yard line. A couple plays later, Sanders gets in, making it 14-20. But once again, just the ineptitude of the Packers defense there. I don't know how much of this is coaching, how much of this is bad technique from the players on the field. We obviously, I don't know if you saw this stat, Andrew, but the Packers missed 20-plus tackles on Sunday, which is pretty, pretty bad.
I just want to ask a question to you here before we move on to the fourth pick six. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you, at what point in time, if all of your players on in one position have bad technique, do you attribute that to coaching? So if my, I mean, you know, my dad's a, or my dogs, I can't say, oh, yeah, none of them are potty trained because they're bad dogs. No, that's just me fucking being a shitty dog owner, right? So you have to assess and put responsibility in places if it's more, you know, if it's not just a one-off situation. And I am a Packers apologist. I am, oh, it's fine. It'll fall into place. But when it's enough is enough at some point. So I guess that's kind of my question to you. Is it when you say, you know, oh, bad technique.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Well, if everyone has bad technique.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, it's, you know, the edge guys, we kind of struggled with that all year. Rashawn Gary, he's kind of always done that. Obviously, he's out now, but that's been one of his weaknesses, is maintaining containment on the edges. But we even saw, it's kind of funny, because we saw Justin Hollins come in, who he claimed from the Rams last week, and he came in and was perfect playing, maybe not perfect, but he played really well on the edge and just held his ground and was able to keep Hurts in the pocket or chase him down a couple times. So I don't know. A lot of it's coaching. I think a lot of it is guys kind of getting sick of the defense and they're trying to make their own plays. You know, Preston Smith on that one, they're trying to get a sack, doesn't work out. But then the other missed tackles, like in the secondary, it's really just a lack of willingness to make a play on the ball or, you know, get in there and be physical. So it's kind of...
You think our guys kind of don't want, not to say Barry, but you think our guys are saying, hey, this defensive scheme isn't working across the board. Let's do something else. And coaches saying no, and they're being like, this is stupid.
Yeah, I think they're getting a little sick of things, and it's getting to that point of the year where they're kind of making business decisions. And, you know, you watch, and like the first half, we gave up a lot of big runs, but there was, it was, you know, a lot more closer plays. The second half, especially like the fourth quarter, like the last drive that the Eagles had, and all we had to do is stop them. After the onside kick, you know, there's three plays in a row. You know they're going to be runs, and we still couldn't stop them on those three plays to give us a chance. So not too good. Moving on to the fourth pick six play, the Rudy Ford forced fumble, Quay Walker return. It was a 3rd and 8 with 9 minutes left in the first half. Hurts throws out wide to A.J. Brown, who gets it ripped out by Rudy Ford. Quay Walker picks it up and returns it down to the 13-yard line. J.R. Alexander, once again, continuing his weird season. He, you just watch him, and he's the most, like, one of the most animated players I can remember watching that has nothing to do with, like, the actual play going on. Like, just kind of try to pump him up or show Quay where to go. And then he's the lead blocker, and he laid no blocks whatsoever. He was more of a cheerleader than anything else on the play. But obviously that led to the Aaron Jones receiving touchdown in the end zone, which tied the ball game up at 20s. But either way, very fun to have that type of return and that type of play on defense. Andrew, nothing? Nothing?
Nothing. I mean, I don't know.
Good play. You enjoyed it.
J.R. Alexander fanboy, obviously. He honked at me. And the pregame when we were in Tennessee.
We forgot to talk about that last week. Yeah.
I won't badmouth the guy.
We didn't talk about this last week when we were at the Packer game, the Packer Titans game, where, you know, walking to Lambeau, tailgating a little bit, and we're looking around. I'm like, oh, it's the players' entrance parking lot, and we're looking, and it was a little dark out, and you could barely see a lot of these people who were driving. And Andrew, of course, being Andrew and a few beers in him, you jump in front of like the road there in the parking lot where a car is coming in, and you do the boop boop, you know like you've seen a
toddlers.
Yeah,
there you go. You've seen toddlers in the back of their mom and dad's car, and they pull their hand down like that semi horn, you know, to give a visual to just listeners. And, you know, I'm just doing that to 3-4 players, and everyone, you know, no one really gives a shit about me because I'm a 32-year-old grown adult. Mm-hmm. But Jair, he gets a good old smile and he gets four toots on his horn and he's laughing. I'm like, oh yeah. So, you know, I'm not gonna say anything about the guy in a negative aspect.
Well, it was funny because the way you're saying it, that's one thing. I think you only tried it once or twice, and after that it worked. But you did it, and then we didn't find out until after looking at him. Like, that was Jair Alexander. You had no idea.
We didn't know it was him. No. I was doing it with every, all the cars I saw coming. Yeah, only like three times probably before, and then I didn't want to like. Once we got one, I think I was just like, don't want to go any lower than and this high we're on. So I said, cool. Then we moved on. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep.
Yep. So speaking of moving on to the next pick six play on the last drive of the first half. You know, the offense gets the ball. We're tied up, looking like, okay, we got a chance after the defense makes a stop. Maybe we can get the lead before halftime. Well, Packers get the ball.
We can't.
First play action, got sacked. Second play, pass to Randall Cobb to make it up. You know, made it a 3rd and 5. But on 3rd and 5, Aaron Rodgers, once again, gets sacked. We end up having to punt the ball. And eventually the Eagles do score on that last drive, making it 20-27 going into halftime. Not very good. But once again, it's like we were running the ball so well in this game and got away from it. Like, it seems to be the theme this year or most years under Matt LaFleur, and it just kicked us in the ass. And after, we get the ball back at halftime, obviously couldn't do too much with it, and to kind of set the pace for what the second half is going to be as well.
Yeah, I have questions about some specifics on plays, but I think it's best because it'll feed into my whole mindset of mentality here. And I think it's best if I kind of dive into that after we get done with the pick six.
All right. Well, the last pick six play pretty much sealed the game here. 4th and 2 with 13:30 left in the game. It is 23-34. The Eagles once again decide to sneak it. They pick it up, and this eventually leads to a field goal, making it 23-37, which essentially ended the game. And this, we saw the Eagles do the sneak quite a few times, or Jalen Hurts run it quite a bit. This was a 4th and 2 that they snuck the ball, and the defense still just wasn't ready for it. And it's just one of the more demoralizing ways to watch your team lose and or give up a first down anyways. And of course they picked it up. So after that, game was pretty much over, but we obviously had a lot of fun things to talk about in the second half in that last quarter, seeing Jordan Love coming to the game. But I guess we can get right into that. Moving on to the offense.
Yes.
Well, let's start things off, because obviously there was the game, but then there was a game within the game. So, Andrew, what are your first thoughts on Jordan Love? He finished 6 for 9, 113 yards, the 1 touchdown, didn't get sacked, and overall pretty solid. What did you think?
There's a couple things here. I am a Rodgers apologist. I have been. I know you are. We both agree. Rodgers, GOAT. No doubt about it. Now, that being said, I am not disappointed in Love's play. I'm actually pretty stoked by watching him. But we have to obviously keep in mind that they're playing against a prevent defense. The game's in the bag. Yep. On the Eagles side, it's not like they're going full, not to say they're not going full strength, but they're just trying to get the clock wearing out a bit here. I think if it was a tie game, some of those completions, or maybe he doesn't have as much time in the pocket as we saw him have. So I hate to say that he's an amazing quarterback. I'm not going to say that, right? But I like the strength of some of his throws. Good. It looks good. But also, now that we've learned the severity, and maybe this is part of what Take News comes into, so if it is, just stop me. Now that we've learned the severity of Rodgers' thumb, right?
Yep.
Why haven't we seen him sit? It's not because I want Love. It's because I want Rodgers healthy.
Yep.
Why couldn't he sit for 4 weeks or 2-3 weeks, get this thing healed up, and then maybe we win 1 or 2 games that we've lost on this last 6, right?
Yep.
Without Rodgers playing well, and then he's back in time to run the table and make a playoff run, you know? But now we got Rodgers banged up, a bunch of losses. We still don't know what Love really looks like on a decision-making year. So there's a lot of, like, pissed offness because I also, another question, and this probably gets into take news a bit too, but would McCarthy or Belichick, let's just say two more stern coaches, would they take reign over Rodgers and say, look, you're sitting and healing and we're going to play Love? And is Rodgers, who's involved in the decision making, maybe too much, some people say, I don't know. Are people, or is he saying, no, I'm starting, because he's afraid of exactly what happened, you know,
with
other quarterback, you know, so where Love's actually good. And then he's going off in the
question.
Shadows.
Yes, you've been going on for like 3 minutes. Yes.
I know, because I'm pissed.
Yeah. So it's a tricky situation because I don't, you know, we didn't know it was broken, you know, for like a week. Like a week ago, we kind of figured out, hey, it's broken. But at the same time, it's not like we were on top of the world.
But he knew.
Yeah, he knew, but he didn't play great, but he played fine. It's not like he was playing bad enough where you thought he had a broken thumb. Yes, there were some off balls, but that Cowboys game...
No, but he wasn't doing Aaron Rodgers magic, and we need Aaron Rodgers magic to win games. So without it, he needs to be healthy to give... Like, we're not a good team. We have Aaron Rodgers because we paid him so much money, and if he's not healthy enough to give us, you know, number one or number two quarterback overall... Because that's what we need from him. You know, top 10 isn't really cutting it with how bad the rest of our team is.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. But it's not like Aaron Rodgers is playing terrible. You know who leads the NFC in touchdowns right now? Aaron Rodgers.
Well, Rodgers, but he has...
You know who has the most yards in the NFC right now? I know he's one of the tops. He's one of the top guys in the NFC too. The thing is
sure.
I understand people wanting to see Jordan Love and maybe to get Aaron Rodgers healthy. But... it's a broken bone. We don't know how much that rest would really help. And even if he plays four games, it's, you know, it's a little Captain Hindsight here. Yes, obviously when we lose to the Giants, the Jets, the Commanders, the Bills, and the Lions, yeah, no shit. Why didn't we just sit Aaron Rodgers? But I don't think any of us thought we were going to be on a five-game losing streak there either. So
right.
It's tough.
Also, I'm going to just clarify and say that obviously a healthy Rodgers over a healthy Love all day. I'm not advocating for benching Rodgers for poor performance. It was strictly to say, Rodgers, I want you to be healthy.
Yes, you made that very clear.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
But yeah, I don't know. Sure, you could... If we could go back in time, maybe, but bottom line is, you know, never good to get injured, especially God. It just sucks that it was a Hail Mary, too, that he didn't even get the ball off. But yeah, I don't know. Back to Jordan Love. I thought he looked pretty good. The best he's looked so far, I'm obviously a Rodgers guy. I don't think we should have drafted Jordan Love when we did or really at all. And I don't think he's shown much up to this point. This last preseason, he looked a little bit better, but he did also lead the entire league in picks. So I'm glad we were able to see him in this game. And more than anything, he looked a lot more polished. He looked a lot more confident in all his throws. He had those couple incompletions, obviously. But the throw out to Aaron Jones on the sideline there, that little hole shot, that was very impressive. He's, you know, in these preseason games, it's like he always had a bit of a loft on the ball. And on Sunday, he was just drilling it. He was just whipping
it. Some of those bad boys were on a rope. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. I mean, the one to Aaron Jones that he dropped, it's almost like he threw it too hard. You know, like it was.
No, you're serious. Seriously. Yeah.
It was an absolute bolt. But it was more good than bad from Jordan Love. I mean, he had two drives and put up 10 points. That's pretty good. He picked up that 3rd and 5 and had that nice little out route, which was cool. And I mean, kind of like his touchdown to DeGuara last year, that screen. He had the touchdown to Watson, which was mostly Watson, but he still made the throw. A lot of people liked the throw to Cobb in the end zone where Love was kind of scrambling to the right and then threw backfield and hit Cobb. It looks like the defender might have been a little bit early. But that's one of the plays I didn't like. Some people are like, oh my God, look at this arm strength from him on the run. And I'm like, the number one problem, and we don't know much about Jordan Love, the number one problem we've had with him is his decision making. and throwing interceptions. And in just two series, that ball very well could have been picked off. He's thrown across the field, defenders right there, threw it behind Cobb a little bit too. And I don't like seeing those types of decisions in the red zone. You know, it.
Well, in hindsight, we should have got to see his legs on that play, if I'm thinking of the right play, where he was scrambling yes. right. And he could have just fucking ran for the first down or OB and probably picked up enough for the first down to not have to force it into the field goal that we ended up kicking there and then gone for yeah. the onside. If he picks up the first down and runs out, you know, then we still have four more plays to get a touchdown.
Yeah, true. But I mean, either way, we were still down the two scores. We needed to get the ball back, and we weren't able to either which way. But yes, would have been nice to see that. But at the same time, I do like when the younger quarterbacks stay in the pocket and throw, because a lot of times the younger guys will panic and run. So I'm fine with it, and I'm looking forward to seeing Jordan Love in the future this year. So we'll see. Back to...
Do you think we're going to see him in the future this year?
Yeah, so... You know, we're obviously going to, Roger said today on Pat McAfee that he plans on playing. The scans came back and they were all positive on his ribs. It wasn't an oblique, which NBC was saying it sounds like it was a rib injury. So he might have a broken rib or something. So we'll see. He's going to play Sunday against the Bears. There's no way he was going to miss that game. After the Bears game is a bye week. And after the game, I thought this was telling, and it was probably the most positive thing to come post game. Was when brought up about Rodgers playing in the future. Rodgers said he wants to play as long as they're alive. So once they're mathematically eliminated, Rodgers did make it sound like he would be more up for being benched for Jordan Love and for him to get healthy, probably get ready for next year or whatever this offseason could bring. But either way, I'm glad it doesn't sound like it'll be a big drama-filled, you know, bullshit thing going on with who's going to start. Oh, Rodgers is upset that the Packers want to start Love. Once they're mathematically eliminated, it sounds like it'll be Jordan Love. So if it isn't this week, we got the bye week. Maybe we see Love against the Rams. Maybe we see Rodgers. But I'd be willing to bet Dolphins, Vikings, Lions, we have Jordan Love starting those games.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope that we're not mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, we have the three or 2% chance right now. But I know the Vikings can clinch like the NFC North this weekend.
Well, that 3% chance, if I understand correctly, is because they're thinking we're not gonna win out. If we win 4 of 5, it's a 99% chance.
There's no way that's true.
Yeah, it is true.
Okay,
We can pause if you want, but I'm pretty sure. Basically, we can lose against the Dolphins and win the other four. I think that percentage that you're seeing is a percentage of saying the likelihood of us winning 4 out of 5 games because of how bad we are.
We are a 4-8 team. I don't think if we're 8-9, we're 90% making the playoffs.
I think we are. I honestly think.
Okay. You're wrong. There's no way that's correct. Well, if you can find it, show me, but there's no way that's correct. I'm just going to move on.
move on, please.
So back with the offense of this game, everything that actually
statistically,
did matter.
I am wrong most of the time here, yes.
Yes. But it still was a very optimistic performance, I think, from the offense at least. It's been such a weird year, but these last couple games, we were looking competent once again. I mean, 5 minutes into this game, the score was 13-0, and I was like, oh, fuck, we're going to get blown out on national television. But they came right back and took the lead, which was pretty cool. Even the first possession, you know, it was run, sack. The Eagles score on the next drive, making it 20-34, and that's when the game is pretty much over. So once again, it's just if we could stick to the run, it would be nice, but that doesn't seem to be going on too much this year. Moving on.
I don't know why it seems like too. You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't. You're sitting here watching the game, and it's like, oh, well, this is working. Let's do it more, and then we just don't.
Yeah, like you know, I kind of said it before too. Like at that last series at the end of the first half, if we could have just ran on that last series, who knows how different the game would have been? But back to Aaron Rodgers, he was 11-16, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, was sacked 3 times. Had a QBR of 38, which is very good, but his pass rating was 95.8, pretty solid. His first pick came on third down, got out of a sack, and threw a bad ball to Lazard, got tipped up and picked. And I don't know. He had the other pick, too, to Tyler Davis. who apparently ran the wrong route. Rodgers has said that numerous times now, that Tyler Davis ran the wrong route. Sounds like he was supposed to run a seam, but Rodgers saw he was open and threw it to him anyways, and that got picked off. But other than that, I thought it was a pretty vintage Aaron Rodgers performance. That touchdown to Aaron Jones was pretty sick in the end zone. And at second pick, too, that was like one of the scariest interceptions I can remember watching on TV, where it was like a jump scare where he picked it off and all of a sudden the camera just like tilted to the left and it was like, holy shit, are we being attacked right now? Like, what is going on? So either way, I'm glad we made it through that and didn't die after the interception. Moving on to the running backs, a rare game where A.J. Dillon actually looked better than Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon finished with 8 carries, 64 yards. And a touchdown. He had an 8-yard average per rush. Aaron Jones, 12 rushes, 43 yards, a 3.6 average. Aaron Jones did, however, have the 3 receptions, 56 yards, the long of 30. And A.J. Dillon had 3 receptions and 24 yards. Pretty good, but nice to see A.J. Dillon look like a good, solid football player again. Ran a couple dudes over. I feel like he had more broken tackles in this game than he had in any other game the rest of the season. And again,
I mean, he looked great.
Yeah. And I've said this before on previous episodes or previous seasons. I don't know what it is with him, and he's a really big dude, but God, his feet get in the air so much. There was a couple of times like near the sideline where he flips over, and like, I think he brought himself out of the game after he was a little banged up, but he just gets flipped on his head, and I feel like his legs are going to run into someone or he's going to get injured that way. But I'm surprised for how big of a dude he is, how often his legs get kicked up in the air. Very, very important. Moving on to wide receiver. I mean, once again, you got to start with him. Christian Watson, 4 receptions, 110 yards, 1 touchdown, obviously the long of 63 yards. He is just so damn good. You almost forget about it, but even when, I can't remember, I think Rodgers was still in the game, but he had a catch on 4th and 5. You know, it just, a guy who we questioned his hands early on, and Rodgers has said this a lot too, where he doesn't think there's been a more like important catch than that 50-yard touchdown that Watson had a couple of games ago against the Cowboys, because since then he's turned into a different player, a very confident player. So that 4th down
right.
play is like, holy shit.
A turning point in his career.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, pretty much. It was nice to see him get hit a couple times, too. He had a couple of those catches right down the middle, and he got smacked, and he popped right back up. I keep waiting for him to get another concussion, but it did not happen. And either way, they talked about this a lot, but it's hard not to get excited about this offense going forward. Obviously, yes, the season sucks. We're 4-8. We're probably not going to make the playoffs. But God, we got Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs, and Dubs has his own questions. But those two young guys, for at least the next three years, they're going
to
be studs.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you here, but that's biggest thing to look forward to. I did. The biggest thing that we do take away also is like a healthy Aaron Rodgers next year with, you know, a great, decent backup quarterback behind him that, you know, we have confidence in. Mm-hmm. But like one last shot with these rookies that are more formed next year catching the ball could make all the difference that we need, you know?
Right. And I kind of said that early on this season, too, where a benefit of drafting those receivers early, or at least Christian Watson, is trying to get Aaron Rodgers to come back. Now, this is probably me in my own head, but man, if you're Aaron Rodgers this offseason, and I don't think he wants to go out like this, it's one of the reasons why I think he'll be back, and plus contractually, it just makes sense. It'd be very hard to retire when you have Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs, and you still have that potential to see what they are, and especially in the second year, things should be a little bit easier for him. Moving on, wide out, I don't know, there isn't too much else to talk about. Alan Lazard had 2 receptions, 24 yards. Randall Cobb, 2-19. They are kind of filling in the cracks, which is nice. And Sammy Watkins had no targets, no receptions. He's really fallen off the depth chart, which we kind of hinted at last week, too. Moving on, tight end, not too much to talk about. Robert Tonyan, 3 receptions, 20 yards. He had that one bad drop while he was sitting on the bench on the sideline there, and he seemed to be a little embarrassed that he dropped that one. That was about it. And obviously Tyler Davis, I mean, God, a guy really fell off. I thought last year he played pretty well in this training camp. He had a little bit of buzz early on, which fell off, but now it's just, he's kind of in that Sammy Watkins role where every snap that he's on the field, it's like, why don't we have a receiver out here or someone else? It's just kind of a wasted body at this point. Moving on to the offensive line. Not a hell of a lot to talk about. Yashu's been up and down, not that great of a game. He gave up four pressures and had that false start, which forced that field goal instead of going for it on fourth and three when Rodgers was still in the game in the second quarter. So that was kind of a big deal. And it's been talked about a lot, but that holding call on Elgton Jenkins that brought back the Aaron Jones touchdown run, that was just bullshit. He literally was just too good and too strong against his guy where he got a flag for holding, but luckily, at least, the Packers did get
I think
a touchdown.
Even the announcers were saying the exact same thing.
Right. Yeah.
They were like, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it.
He just ran right straight through the guy. He was grabbing his shoulders, but it wasn't like a tug or anything. He's just a big boy who ran him over. But either way, that was the touchdown to Aaron Jones, the pass that Rodgers threw. So we still got the points anyways, but... Yeah, that's it for offense. Pretty entertaining game. Again, going into it, I did not think we were going to score 33 points and didn't think we'd be able to keep up with the Eagles' offense. But shit, no real complaints except for, God, I wish we could have just ran the ball a couple more times. But with that, Andrew, you got anything else on offense?
No, not on offense.
Okay, good. Well, with that, we will have a quick commercial break.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, and we are back with the defense. What do you know? It's the Green Bay Packers, and it is a team with a very bad defense. This was the most rushing yards the Packers have allowed since 1977 and the eighth most given up in the Super Bowl era. Always good to have these little stats. On top of that, Jalen Hurts is the fourth player in NFL history with 150-plus passing and rushing yards in a single game. Like I said, he's the fourth player to do it. The second player to do it was Colin Kaepernick back in the 2012 playoffs. This was the most by a QB in NFL history at that point. And once again, it's just, I don't know what it is. This
embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. And way too often. I don't know if this is just what happens when you have like a great quarterback on the team, but it's like the defense just always freaking struggles. And it's usually been against the run. We had 2011 where our passing D was terrible. But God, I had to look it up after. Obviously, like I mentioned there, the 2012 playoffs, Colin Kaepernick ran all over us. But God, running is just always the problem. And even when Mike Pettine was around a few years ago, 2019, it always seems like we have these historical performances against us. 2019, Raheem Mostert ran for 220 yards, which was the second most yards rushing in a playoff game since Eric Dickerson back in 1986. And he was also the first player to rush for at least four touchdowns and 200 yards in a playoff game. So that just lets you know it's like historically this team is just always so fucking bad on defense. I don't know what else to say there. I got a few other things here. That first touchdown when the Eagles are on the goal line, or sorry, they're on the Eagles six, we had two defensive linemen in the game. You're pretty much in a goal line situation. We went with two defensive linemen. Pretty fucking stupid. Jalen Hurts had three conversions running the ball in the first quarter. Like, what are we doing here? As the game went on, it really did seem like the defense was playing with less and less effort, which isn't good. They're kind of packing it in, mentioned that before. And like I said as well, even when we wanted that little last glimpse of hope with Jordan Love in the game after the onside kick, All we had to do was stop him from getting a first down when we knew they were running, and we could have got the ball back with 50 seconds, no timeouts. But of course, they couldn't do that. So the game pretty much ended after that. And speaking of players giving up on the team, we got to talk about the corners. Here's a fun little stat. I forgot who tweeted this out, but here are in the Packers secondary right now, here's a QB rating when targeted with minimum 150 snaps. Rudy Ford, 54.9, pretty good. Jair Alexander, 68.2, pretty good. Keyshawn Nixon, 99.2, not very good. Rasul Douglas, 104.5, not good. Darnell Savage, 125.8. Adrian Amos, 130.8. really, really bad from the secondary. Again, I mentioned it before, but talking about guys kind of giving up on defense, I'm seeing it more from the secondary, especially in the run game or having to make tackles. Dudes just giving up. We've talked about Joe Barry and wanting to have someone else call plays. The easiest answer would be Jerry Gray to step in, who is the defensive backs coach. And I looked this up today because I was kind of curious. You know, there's been some bad communication on the back end of the defense between the safeties and the corners. We see a lot of finger pointing going on. Already said, you know, tough to give Jerry Gray a promotion when it's his secondary that's a big reason for the defense not playing that well this year. Well, something else I looked into, last year, Jerry Gray was the defensive backs coach. He coached the safeties and the corners. This year, we promoted him a bit to the passing game coordinator. I think he might have been last year, too, on defense. But we brought in Ryan Downer to be the safeties coach. We didn't have a safeties coach last year. So now we got two guys who are teaching these guys, and I wonder how much of it is the miscommunication between the safeties and the corners. Obviously, Downard isn't coaching the safeties up very well this year when both Savage and Amos took a huge step back. I guess Rudy Ford's looking good, so that's a positive. But God, I do wonder if there's some form of mutiny going on the defensive coaching staff where Jerry Gray wants to call plays, isn't, and he's not exactly coaching these guys the right way. Maybe Jerry Gray's bitching during the week about, hey, this is what I'd be calling, this is what I'd be doing. But he's like telling these guys to play off, and they're becoming a lot more passive during the games as well. And we're seeing that on Sunday. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Andrew.
I mean, you kind of wonder. You know, I heard people say the same thing about the offensive line. I mean, I don't believe this, but on that same concept, people were saying, oh, look at how much more time Love had, you know, than Rodgers typically. But it's like, well, that's because they're in a prevent defense, dummy. But it's not unrealistic, I suppose. You know, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist out there, yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah, fair. I don't know. We'll see. I wonder, it would be something if Jerry Gray gets fired in season. That would be very telling, and I wonder if that would be, we'll see what happens, because I know Winston Moss, yeah, the linebacker coach back in 2018, he got fired in season when that season went to shit, so I don't know, maybe we'll have more of the same. But sticking with the defensive backs, Jair, like I talked about, having a really weird year, he's always doing something odd. And he's starting to get a little annoying. The second and 12 catch. So, sorry. There was a second and 12 contested catch. Jair was great on it. Broke it up. Fell incomplete. Did a little celebration. Celebrated with Nixon. It's like, okay. You're celebrating a lot for the defense getting absolutely hammered in this game. The very next play on third and 12, he gave up the first down. It was that weird play when he was sitting back a little bit and could have made a play on the ball, but didn't. It's just these stupid things where I'm feeling like an old man. I'm like, dude, you can't be doing this shit and calling attention to yourself if you're not going to make the plays that are there. And I said this to you, Andrew, because he let up that long pass against the Titans at the end of the game, didn't play particularly well against the Titans. I think you mushed him. I think you're such a mush yourself and you screw things up like your bets and all that. I think you coming in contact with his life and him seeing you and doing the horn honk, that has
all that bad juju came right on him.
All the bad juju, and now it's just downhill from there. So we'll have to see what happens.
What's your thoughts on that play when they were in the end zone and Jair was going for the interception as opposed to what would have been a very clear tackle if he would have just stayed on his man?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about just there.
Okay.
It wasn't in the end zone,
but
it was close.
Sure.
Yes. Sure. I don't know if he misjudged it or what was going on. Maybe he didn't want to go into contact, but a very weird play. Maybe he didn't think the guy was going to get there, or he thought it was going to get tipped up. But either way, a weird play from Jair Alexander. Moving on.
Tiger Woods or Air, you know, fucking Aaron Rodgers, you know, Alex Rodriguez, you can be a cocky fucking clown anytime you want to because you are the best of the best. But when you're completing positively, you know, every third or every other play and then doing just as bad as any other scrub on the next one, it's embarrassing and just fucking weird.
Well,
that you're out there celebrating like that, it's stupid.
Yeah,
it is stupid.
It's dumb. But I would say this, you know, you're bringing up A-Rod and shit. I mean, those guys have gone through slumps too. It's strange.
No, they have. That's what I'm saying. But they're still the greatest of all time in their relative, you know, profession. So,
well, Jair is still the highest paid corner in the league. So that kind of defeats your argument there.
So, I mean, but is he as consistently good, I guess?
Not don't know. This year, but I'm saying like A-Rod. Okay. Like, guys go through slumps. I don't know. It's still bringing a lot of attention to it. It's weird too because he had the one thing where he got hurt quote, and it seems like it was just cramps and they were trying to slow down the Eagles offense. The Eagles fans booed him. While he was leaving the field, Jair gave them the double birds and flipped off the fans, apparently. There's a video on Twitter I know going around of it too. And it's weird. It got me thinking, you know, there's been a lot of talk with Rodgers and LaFleur and who runs the team. When you look at contracts, it is goofy at times to think of the dynamic that's going on in football in general, but even this team where Jair comes off the field, Matt goes up to him and you can see him talk to him and Jair kind of shakes his head and like throws his hand out there or whatever. I'm like, fuck. And I look it up because I, you know, thinking about it. So Jair makes $20 million a year on average now with this new contract. Do you know what the highest paid head coach in the league gets per year, Andrew?
I'm going to guess like $8 million.
Bill Belichick gets $14 million per year. Matt LaFleur, he just got a new contract before this. He was making $5 million. We don't know what he's making now. But he's making, you know, at the most, like $10 million, we could say at least, maybe. And that's half of what Jair Alexander makes. So it's very strange to an odd dynamic when the one guy's the coach, but at the same time, the franchise is a little bit more invested in a couple of these players than they are the coaches. So I don't know.
Well, that's a big thing I want to get into. I've never been more excited for special teams. It's probably my least favorite segment on this cast, but I cannot wait because it is going to bring up additional questions about LaFleur specifically, but like who runs this fucking team?
Yeah, we'll get into that. Moving on to safety briefly, Rudy Ford, he seemed to be one of the only guys that really cared on defense. He was the highest graded player on defense for the Packers too. Kind of funny stat too. I think Zach Cruz or Jake Morley put this out there, but against the Cowboys, Rudy Ford was the highest rated player on defense. Against the Titans, he was the lowest rated player on defense. And then against the Eagles, he was the highest rated player on defense. So he's kind of going up and all over the place. But overall, he's playing pretty well at safety too. He's, like we said, when targeted, his pass rating is only 54.9, which is seventh best for safeties in the league. So that's pretty good. The only other thing to talk about with safeties is Adrian Amos. Man, I've been saying it all year. I said it last year, too, how we should probably lock him up long-term, how it was a mistake this offseason to give Darnell Savage that option for the fifth-year option next year instead of giving something to Adrian Amos. But, man, Adrian Amos is far and away having his worst year as a Packer. He had so many missed tackles on Sunday. He's older. And it's a little sad, but unfortunately, it's going to be the right move to move on from him. I don't know if keeping Savage around is the right move, but little sad to see that. Inside linebacker, Quay didn't have a good night, missed four tackles. He had the nice return on the fumble that Rudy Ford forced, but God, he's got to do a little bit better in the run game, especially when you have a historically bad night. Outside linebacker, pretty promising game. If you had told me going into this game that the edge rushers would be a bright spot, I wouldn't have believed you. JJ Anagbari, I've been talking about him all year, even going into the season. The fifth round pick, who's obviously had to play more with Rashawn Gary being out, had a great game. First play of the game, batted a ball, had a tackle for loss that forced the fourth in inches. And I don't know, even on the, there was a couple plays where, yeah, we might not have set the edge, but God, JJ was pretty good at containing Hurts. There was two plays in a row where he was able to run Hurts down behind the line of scrimmage, which you usually don't see from Packers defenders keeping a guy in the pocket. So as much as Hurts killed us on Sunday, there was a couple plays where it's like, oh shit, JJ at least knows what he's doing. And Justin Hollins, the guy we picked up from the Rams, again, I mean, showed up after getting claimed, had a tackle for loss in the first drive, sacked Hurts behind the line of scrimmage. It was just very crazy to see a guy step in and play that well, where I don't feel great about the edge rushers, you know, especially with Rashawn Gary going down. We don't have a lot of depth, but at least with Preston Enagbare and Hollins here. You could do a lot worse than that. And maybe we'll see Jonathan Garvin, his snaps plummet, I'm hoping for. So, yeah. Defensive line, Kenny is playing the worst stretch of his career right now. Kenny Clark, really don't see him making many plays. Obviously, it's a little tougher to judge the defensive line, but God, it's a rough stretch. And I don't think he's injured. Back in 2019 or 2020, when he had a bit of a subpar year, he at least was on the injury report. We're not seeing that with Kenny this year, so we'll have to see what happens. He's going to need some help. Jerron Reed and Dean Lowry haven't been that great. Reed's made a couple of splash plays here of late, but God, these guys just aren't it. And again, I talked about how bad this team has been against the rush for decades now, or at least the last decade. You look, and Dean Lowry's been on this team for the last 7 years. He's the constant denominator. He's not helping the run defense. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to moving on from him. Moving on. Do you have anything on the defense there, Andrew?
No, I'm honestly just nowhere near as knowledgeable about you as these guys.
Yeah, no, you're right. So special teams, Andrew, you wanted to talk about this. Crosby obviously had the missed extra point. We also had Keyshawn Nixon once again. I think we do get our brains a little jumbled here because we're like, why hasn't this guy been doing this longer? Well, he's still been the kick returner since the Giants game. You know, Amari lost those reps then, so he just kind of added the punt return duties the last couple of weeks after Amari got cut. But this game from him, I mean, the first one was terrible. He only made it to like the 10-yard line after fumbling it. But he did have 5 returns for an average of 34.4. which is unreal. He had more kick return yards in this game than Amari Rodgers did all season on his few returns. So that tells you something there too. But God, just it's like he doesn't give up. He gets every last yard out of each and every return. And it's weird how he seems to have eyeballs on the sides of his head where he always knows which way to run.
It was insane. And it's I ate my own shoe because I looked over at Alexis and I said, what are this fucking idiot doing? I didn't know he was gonna have the fucking breakout game. Mm-hmm. But after he first takes that one out of the end zone, I'm like, what an idiot. Like 80% of the time,
yeah,
it makes so much more sense just to take a knee, get to the 25. What are you doing? Don't be a hero, you know? I said Amari 2.0. And then next run, like literally like 2 minutes later, Alexis looks over, she's like, oh yeah, just take a knee, huh? As he got to like, you know, their 40-yard line or something. I was like, oh shit, okay. Well, yeah, let's see it, you know?
He's a difference maker. It's weird because I'm in that same boat. I remember, I think the 2016 season, the first half of the year, the Packers were like top 3 or top 5 in return yards because all they did was kneel it on every single kickoff. They didn't have any returns. And
unless you have either like you see something on that specific return that's coming, it does mathematically, you know, everyone mm-hmm. in the booth talks about, oh, the math, it makes sense to go for two, or oh, the math, kick a field goal here. Why doesn't anyone say 95% of the time take a knee and go at the 25-yard line? Because you know, it's literally like there's stats on it. It just doesn't make any sense ever unless you got a guy
right
that can do it consistently.
Well, I mean, that's the thing too, because a lot of special teams units play into that as well. A lot of times kickers will try to put a little bit more air under it so that the returner has to field it at the 5 or 2 or something, but you know, the defense is already down there to tackle them. So there's a couple ways to look at it, but yes, either way, Keyshawn Nixon, especially in a season like this, I'm not going to be upset watching him return yards, even if he's a couple yards in the end zone. As long as he doesn't fumble, it works for me.
So sorry, do you want to go on to some more?
I'd like to go on.
Or okay, then we can continue.
Okay, thank you for allowing me to do this. Moving on, odds and ends, just wanted to add this here. Packers cut Jonathan Abram today, the safety who we claimed from the Raiders a couple weeks ago. Andrew, you'll remember for the Cowboys game, I brought up how he was getting everyone pumped on the sidelines. Well, they cut him today. He was a former first-round pick safety, but they did move up Enos Gaines. Enos Gaines, Andrew, you don't know who he is, but pretty cool to see him make the 53-man roster. Back in 2020, he went undrafted, and that offseason during that spring, he worked as a DoorDash delivery guy. Eventually, in 2021, he was signed to the Packers offseason roster. He had a decent training camp, but didn't make the 53, was put on the practice squad for the full year, got called up once, played in one game, came back with the team this year, this training camp, again, you know, fucking battling, whatever, training camp, end of training camp, gets hurt, gets cut, out of the league. Well, back in October, we signed him to the practice squad, late October, and now after cutting Abram, we have signed Enos Gaines to the 53-man roster. Long journey for him, a couple of years here, and now he's actually on a 53-man roster in the NFL. So I thought that was pretty cool, pretty easy guy to root for. So maybe we'll see some
hopefully
special
he
teams
makes something of it.
Yeah, probably not, but either way, nice to give someone like that a chance. I mean, I guess we've seen it this year with fucking Keyshawn Nixon and Rudy Ford and all those guys showing up when we didn't expect them to, so maybe we'll see something on out of Enos Gaines. But
do you think Nixon is as nice of a guy as Amari Rodgers?
I would guess no. It seems like he's kind of a, not a weirdo, but I would say he's probably a bit of a knucklehead, just knowing Jonathan Abram and those guys and just the way he plays. He's just so risky and he takes all these chances where I don't know. Either way, there's no way he's a better dude than Amari Rodgers, because we all know Amari Rodgers is the best teammate ever.
That's what I was kind of just saying, because like we couldn't cut Amari for, you know, 7 weeks. Yes. Because he's so kind, so nice. Yeah. so such a beautiful spirit.
Yeah.
And Nixon has an attitude but might be three times better. But no, we don't want to play him. No. You know, because he's not as nice and kind.
Yes, and we'll probably get into that later with Take News.
Okay, good.
Perfect. So we will now have Take News for the week.
Football time. Take News.
All right, Take News for the week. Andrew, we talked about this a little earlier. I mean, you talk about it just about every week. But Joe Barry, what do we do with Joe Barry? You know, it was just week 12. You got 5 games left along with a bye week. Should we keep him? Should we move on? We talked about it a little bit last week. But after another historically awful performance from the Green Bay Packers defense, we'll play a clip here. Obviously, Matt LaFleur was asked about the defense and if there will be any moves on the coaching staff going forward.
In the last 2 weeks, what you would call must wins, you know, your defense kind of failed against the pass against Tennessee and then failed in all aspects in this last game. Offensively, you at least bounced back this week. If you fail continually and defensively, don't you have to make some kind of change? Offensive head coaches who are calling plays will sometimes give play calling duties to someone else. Have you thought about doing something like that, like Jerry Gray call the plays? Or
no, we're not going to go down that road. So, again, you know, if I thought there was an issue there, then I would certainly, we'd make the change. But we work as a staff, and collectively, we're all in this sucker together, and, you know, it's never just one person. It's never one person. It starts with myself, and then it goes to our assistant coaches and then our players, and we're all in this together. And it's not just one person. If I felt confident it was one person, then I would pinpoint it and let you guys know that. But it's collectively. It starts with myself. I've got to be better for everybody here.
All right, so obviously a very Matt LaFleur type answer there. The thing that stuck out to me, which was kind of funny, is if it were one person, I'd let you guys know. It's like, dude, you can't be saying that when you had Amari Rodgers as your punt returner the first half of the season, when that was literally one person making the mistake. But and I said it last week, I understand sticking with Joe Barry for the rest of the year now. This year is sunk. If you're not going to have that big of a benefit by bringing in a new defensive coordinator, having someone else call plays who's part of the staff right now for the rest of the season. This season is lost. However, the way he goes about it and he's like putting a kibosh on it, I mean, Matt.
Well, he says we're not even going to go down that road.
Right.
And he just like, it's like you asking your fucking dad if you could go to the store. Don't even talk about it tonight. It's like, what? Like it's the hardest of hard no's. And it almost seems like, dude, you're making yourself part of the problem. If yes. you are going to agree with how this is being ran and you are going to say that he's not a problem or that it's being the calls are okay, and when you're missing 20 tackles and all of your guys are making the same mistake across the board, you can't find one common denominator between them. It right. is frustrating as a fan to continue to see the same thing happen over and over again and have the person who's supposed to direct accountability just pretend it doesn't exist.
Yes, very good. That's very well said. But with that, I will play one more quick clip here. And this is, you know, the only real devil's advocate argument you can make is this, when they brought up another part of the defense's performance on Sunday.
Hey, man, after the game, I think you said your guys charted 15 missed tackles. Did the tape show that more or less?
Actually, I had more than that. So I don't – they were totaling them up. Spent a long time watching the tape. But, yeah, it was over 20.
Is that the highest that you've had
since
you've been here?
Oh, yeah.
So after watching that, Andrew, or listening to that, whichever which way you did it, I do think, and this is back to like the Mike Pettine excuse deal that we had a lot with him there. There was a lot of bad things going on. But at the same time, these guys have got to make tackles. And a lot of these guys were in the right spot. We talked about Preston Smith. All he had to do was contain Jalen. Maybe that big 42-yard run wouldn't have happened. Quay Walker had four missed tackles by himself. Adrian Amos just took himself out of a few plays. Now, I kind of go back and forth on it, and maybe I'm at, you know, being part of my own argument here. But I think part of the missed tackles is that these guys just don't believe in Joe Barry, and they don't believe in the defense with how it's being run or how it's being called, and they're kind of giving up because they just don't think that they have that great of a chance with this guy back there. And it's weird, too. Because last year, and I don't know how in the hell it happened, but the Packers were one of the best tackling teams in the NFL. The first half of the year, I believe we were the number one team, and I know we finished in the top five. And since then, it's just fallen off a damn cliff. We talked about it early on, the first couple weeks, where Devondre Campbell literally had more missed tackles on the first three games this year than he did all of last season. So part of it, I think, is Joe Barry. The biggest issue is Joe Barry. But at the same time, performance like we saw on Sunday isn't just his fault.
So Joe Barry's not out there actually missing tackles.
Correct.
Of course.
Yes.
But it is his job as the main guy, second to LaFleur, as far as those defense is concerned, to be making sure that these players know what to do and how to do it. And if there's a common denominator, maybe they're not spending enough time, I don't know, practicing tackles. I don't know how a practice looks for an NFL player. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there's got to be something. And yeah, like I totally agree with what you're saying. If they don't believe in the defense, they don't believe in Barry, then why would they put it all out there? You know, that they're showing that they don't want this guy for the long term running the schemes. And yeah. You don't practice your whole life and get up to this level just to be a second, the worst team and the worst defense in the league. Like, they want a leader, I'm assuming, right? So they want someone or something to step up and earn their respect and get good plays and systems out there.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah, I guess. But at the same time, I mean, I don't think Quay Walker grew up playing football and anticipating him going into a game and missing four tackles. But you're right.
No, of course.
Either way, leadership is the issue. It'll be interesting to hear.
Let's talk about LaFleur quick. He's the funnest guy to root for when they're winning or coming back from behind.
The funnest guy
to root for. He's so energetic. He's like a little kid who just got an ice cream cone and you're pumped up for him.
He looks like a kid. He is young.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's I like the guy, right? Personality wise. But every week it feels like after a loss, you could copy and paste his answers. Oh, the buck stops with me. Oh, I take the most credit. Oh, I'm the biggest blame.
We're all in this sucker together.
Yeah, it's like you're not a politician. You're a coach. You can say, hey, look, Amari's the nicest guy in the world, but he's not making the 53 man because he doesn't have any hands.
Right.
I don't care how many times he says thank you, he's out. Okay, make some tough choices. Has he ever like stood up and said, no, here's the problem? Has LaFleur, again, going back to when LaFleur talked to cornerback, fuck, Jair. Yeah, same, that body language that you're talking. It's like, okay, so if Aaron wants to play, Aaron's telling LaFleur that he's going to play through a broken rib and thumb, or is LaFleur
that's a whole different thing. You don't know what's going on with the
thumb
thing.
No, I don't.
But either...
I don't. Okay. I'm just asking, is LaFleur, again, is it LaFleur's offense? And I've always been a team like, oh, Rodgers should be the one in charge more so, because he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
But now I'm just like, I'm wondering, does LaFleur have enough backbone to even fire lower guys like you know, Barry?
Yes. Yeah. No, you kind of went all over the place on that one and hopping back onto the offense thing too. No, I said this early on too. I said this for the first couple of seasons. I like Matt LaFleur as a coach, but I think when it goes bad, it's going to go bad quick and he's not going to be able to hold on to the locker room. I think he's a better coordinator than I think he is a head coach. I don't think he's a leader of men, and this is stupid, like, dumb shit fan talk, but I really just don't think he's a great leader for a football team. And you look at it, the last few years, too, even when we were 13-3, or, you know, we had our 13-win seasons, there were several games where we would just get blown out, and we don't really come from behind. I don't know how many of these guys get motivated by Matt LaFleur. It's dumb too. You see like pictures during practice or after practice when they're all huddling together or even in the locker room. And these guys, the guys in the locker room just don't look very excited or about it. And you see other guys, obviously after wins and shit, but you see like McDaniels for the Dolphins and all these other younger coaches in the locker room. And everyone's jumping around and they're all excited. Matt LaFleur is not a rah-rah speech guy. And even, I've mentioned it before in the past, like David Bakhtiari has gone on record on a podcast too, saying that like the first time he addressed the team, he was embarrassed for Matt LaFleur because he was just so nervous and all these other things. And we're seeing it now with like fucking Amari Rodgers and what you're doing with Joe Barry and who's starting here.
He doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Right. And it's a little tough. Hope, you know, he's still a young guy. This is still his fourth year coaching the team. We'll see. It not an easy situation when you've got such a shitty defense. The franchise pretty much told you that you had to keep Mike Pettine as your defensive coordinator. You have Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, but also he's obviously very opinionated. I don't know. It'll be an interesting offseason. The biggest thing is to see what type of moves happen with the coaching staff, not just defensive coordinator. I assume the defensive coordinator is going to be obviously relieved of his duties, but the jumbling around of the other coaches, which happens every offseason, Adam Stenovich being the OC now, Jason Vrabel being the passing game coordinator and the wide receiver coach, I wonder how many guys on the offensive and defensive coaching staff also lose their jobs because something has to happen.
Well, I just to add on to what you're saying, I think the best way to say it is, even if they like him, I don't know if he has the respect of the players. You know what I mean? Even if they like him or dislike him, it's not like they think, oh, Matt LaFleur, football genius, huge respect for that guy. He knows how to run and you know, make a team win.
Yeah, but
that's just not true. He might be a really analytical, football-minded guy and have the schemes all figured out. So like you said, maybe a great OC.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't think respect is the right word, because if you're saying that they don't respect him, you're saying that they disrespect him. I don't think that's it. I just think he's... Like you said, if he's not willing to point the finger at Joe Barry, you can't really blame Joe Barry. But at some point, especially with Mike Pettine back in the day too, it's like you can't be okay with how things are being run right now. And you're kind of, you know, losing control of the locker room and the coaching staff. I don't know. We'll see what happens this offseason. But
well, if your statement is true that the defense is not stoked with Barry and there's some coup against him,
mm-hmm.
then Matt's statements are going to bring him down with the ship and have the players against him in of a sense by standing with Barry entirely.
I guess, but it's still, you know, the other thing he said is it's never one guy, and he's right. And that's what I think, and that's what I'm talking about with this offseason. Barry's going to get let go. I bet some... Montgomery, the defensive line coach, he might get let go. Maybe Jerry Gray, we'll see what happens with him too. So I don't know. We'll see. Either way, it's going to drop.
Has there
down.
Ever been a time in which someone has been fired or like, but not fired, repositioned? So like, hey, LaFleur, sorry, no head coach anymore, but you're the OC.
I'm trying to think. Not so much on the
I just don't know if there's a way to keep him around as a really positive football mind, but not the guy to lead us.
Yeah, no, you can't really do that. That might have happened sometime. I mean, there's been instances where players get moved to like on the coaching staff. There, I know back in the day, Chris Gizzy, who's the athletic director for the Packers, or the you know, the workout guy. He used to be the secondary guy, and it used to be Lavat, who was the lead athletic trainer. That's what it was. And they swapped roles, and Lavat stayed on, but stayed in this as the secondary dude, you know, not the lead guy. So it does happen within football organizations, but not so much offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and head coach. But I don't know. We'll see. Either way, some heads have got to fucking roll this offseason for, you know, as an owner, you know, that has to happen, or I will let them know how upset I am. But with that, Andrew, we have to have it every week. Is Kyle an idiot?
Oh, yes.
I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right, Andrew. Like I say every week, you're an idiot. We can just get on with it here. Is Kyle an idiot for the week? Some Packers trivia. Your first question. Andrew, which of these former Packer running backs, which one of these is the name of a former Packer running back? Jarius Wynn, Deshaun Wynn, Edwin.
I like Edwin.
Okay. Is that your answer?
Edwin. That's my answer. Not, I don't like it as a name, but I like it as an answer.
No, Andrew, you are wrong. Edwin.
It Jarius?
I'm not even sure if Edwin is a real person, but I thought it was funny because it is Ed and Wynn, but it sounds like Edwin, like the full name. It's not Edwin. It is not Jarius Wynn. Jarius Wynn was a defensive end for the Green Bay Packers when we won the Super Bowl. The correct answer is Deshaun Wynn was a running back for a few years for the Packers. Actually had a 73-yard run, touchdown run, I believe, against the Giants, which I still remember in the 2006, 2007
season.
So we
don't get to learn anything about Ed Wynn?
No, I guess you could Google him later. He is someone, but I don't know what
it
is.
I'm sure there is an Ed Wynn. An Ed Wynn. You know, good, somewhere out there.
Good ring to it. Moving on, the second question, Andrew. When we were at the Titans game, Leroy Butler got inducted into the Packers Ring of Honor. Who did the Packers play when Brett Favre was inducted into the Packers Ring of Honor?
Oh, shit. Probably not the Vikings or the Jets. So
fair.
Let's say the Packers played the Saints.
No, should have played the numbers game because it was against the Chicago Bears. Yes, we played the Bears twice a year. Obviously, only once at home, so I guess that's a fair point as well. But that was against the Bears. That was back in 2016, 2014. I forgot what year it was, but we ended up losing that game to the Bears, too, and that was the last time Bart Starr was at Lambeau Field as well. Mm. And now we know Brett Favre's not a very good guy. But moving on. Speaking of quarterbacks, Andrew, who was the quarterback the last time the Bears beat the Green Bay Packers at Soldier Field?
I would go back here to Brett Hundley.
Who was the quarterback for the Bears?
Oh, sorry. I was thinking the Bears might have beat, like, you know, and I was it can't be Rodgers or Favre. You wouldn't give me that too big of an easy answer.
I believe they did too, yeah.
Right. So, okay. Cutler?
Nope, it was Mitch Trubisky. It was Mitch Trubisky in 2018. Okay. That was one of the last losses, or I guess second to last, but it was after Mike McCarthy had been fired, I believe, and did not win that game. Not a very good game. Andrew, you weren't very good at that. You were 0 for 3.
That was 0-3.
Pretty bad. On par for the season.
Let's see if I can stump you here, Spenny.
Okay, deal.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Obviously, long time Packer quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
In events in which he starts and finishes, meaning he doesn't, you know, come in halfway through
yep.
or leave with an injury, How many times has he been shut out? Packers have 0 points.
Where he finished the game?
Yes, where he starts and finishes the game.
So how many times has Aaron Rodgers been shut out?
Yes.
God, I think it's zero.
It is zero.
Yeah.
It is zero. When Aaron Rodgers has played in a game, do you know how many times they've been shut out when he's, you know, at least played quarterback?
God, I don't. Oh, I'm going to go with, fuck. I'm going to go with two.
God, you're so fucking good, man.
Thank you.
Two. The first one was when he played, he came in for Favre, you know?
Okay.
And then, so that was like, what, 2006 or some shit?
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was when he got hurt in Detroit.
Okay, yeah, that one fucking sucked too, because he did not look good. I still remember that because he got his concussion and he popped up and went back to the huddle. And I think he actually played a couple plays and then they pulled him out.
I think
that
it was halftime. I think he didn't come back on the field.
Yeah, it was weird. That was a different NFL. That was before the whole concussion crackdown. That was that same season when he came back, they gave him a... Yeah, they have the third-party guy who's supposed to pull him out, but then that's still bullshit, too, because we saw what happened with Tua this year early on. But that season, too, with Rodgers with the concussions, I remember, if you look back, they gave him a special helmet where you could see a little blue liner on the inside. There was, like, extra padding so that it was less likely he would get a concussion, at least that year. But it was a little bit larger, too. I wonder how easy it would be to find that old picture, but...
That's funny.
Yeah, those games sucked. I know Matt Flynn was terrible when he came in on that one, too. But all right. With that, Andrew, moving on to better and brighter things, the Bears preview. We play the Chicago Bears at noon on Fox. The announcers are Adam Amon. I always forget how to say his name. And Mark Schlereth. Once again, I've said this the last couple of times, but if you don't want to listen to those guys, which I don't, I'm going to turn on the Packers radio, which you can now do using a desktop computer, going on Packers.com. You can then stream it live and sync it up with YouTube or the TV if you can pause it and stuff. And I've loved doing that in the past. I did that for the Cowboys game, and that worked out pretty well. Vegas, Packers are favored by 4 points. The over-under is set at 43.5. Overall, the Bears are bad, even worse than the Packers. They are 3-9, last in the North, and on a 5-game losing streak. They just lost to the Jets last week, 10-31, with Trevor Siemian starting. The Bears' offense is not very good. They are 19th in points per game. Rushing, however, they are first in rush yards per game and yards per rush. However, of course, like anything, when you have that type of stat, they are 32nd in pass yards per game. Also, no team gets sacked more or throws more picks than the Bears. On defense, the defense is 27th in points per game and give up the most points per play. They're 24th in yards per rush, 4.7 yards per carry, and 31st in yards per pass. So they are a very bad defense. Looking at the players on offense, Justin Fields might start, might not. But either way, he's not a great QB, but he's a pretty electric runner. He has 1,642 yards throwing on the season and 834 yards rushing. So pretty crazy stat. Usually these numbers are much further apart when you look at yards per attempt and yards per rush. Justin Fields, just himself, 7.2 yards per pass and 6.8 yards per rush, which is fucking crazy. David Montgomery is getting 4 yards a carry, who is the lesser of the two backs this season, but he'll be leading the way with Herbert being out. Darnell Mooney, their leading receiver, went on IR today or yesterday, so EQ looks to be their leading receiver. I believe he is healthy. And Cole Kmet, their tight end, has had a decent season, a couple hundred receiving yards, but he's come as of late on as well. That's a good enough of a sentence. People know what I'm saying. Defense isn't very good, like the stats told you there. This is how bad they are. Found this just going through their stats. So their leader for sacks is Jaquan Brisker, who is their safety, which isn't good. He has 3 sacks. Their number 2 sacker on the season is Raquan Smith. Raquan Smith was traded over a month ago, and he plays for the Ravens. So the dude with the second most sacks for the Bears doesn't even play with them. Moving on to safety or picks. Eddie Jackson leads their defense in picks. He's on the IR. Do you know who's number two in picks for the Bears? Roquan Smith, who plays for the Ravens. He had two in his few games with the Bears. So the guy who's second in sacks and picks for this defense doesn't even play for the team. That's how bad they are.
Is Justin Fields hurt, or why wouldn't he play?
Well, he didn't play last week. Trevor Siemian
played. Is he hurt, though? Or?
Yeah, he separated his shoulder that previous game. God, I forgot who they played. Maybe the Falcons?
I hope Trubisky starts because Trubisky
plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Sorry, who is there going to be their backup then?
Trevor Siemian, who I also just mentioned.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I hope Siemian starts then because, I mean, I know they're not going to get anything in the air. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But either way, I mean, if they can just QB run and then, you know, running back rush all over us, it's gonna suck.
That's the thing. Even if he's still banged up and he can't throw well, it's like, who cares? He's
because they don't have anyone to throw to anyway.
Right.
If they just put three options where you can pass a 10-yard pass to a tight end or take a sneak or lob it over to a running back, you know, run. They could march down that field against our broken defense.
Yes.
Just solid rushing slant plays,
yes.
I think, without an issue.
If there was ever a time to try their Wildcat offense again, just run it with Justin Fields and they'd have a decent chance. But
this would be the time.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned it earlier, but I've got to bring it up again. This is obviously a horseshit game. People are wondering why, you know, Rodgers is starting. Why are we even doing it? The season's lost, all this, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure if Fields is going to play or Siemian, but right now, the Bears and the Packers have 786 wins as a franchise. That is the leader. That's the lead in the NFL. So they're both tied at first. The winner of this game is going to be the all-time winningest team in NFL history. Rodgers, before the season and early on, has said how much it means to him and Favre. That when they both took over, they were so far down the wins list. But since, you know, these two quarterbacks over the last 25 years or whatever, they've obviously bridged that gap. So Aaron Rodgers, if not this week, I think not perfect, but the cherry on his season, which has been pretty shitty, is by overtaking the Bears in wins. Going to the bye week, maybe he's done after that. Maybe he wants to play one more game against the Rams at Lambeau. But it's historically a pretty big game. But with that, Andrew, what are you thinking on this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think hopefully, like I said, Justin Fields doesn't start. If he doesn't, I don't think Chicago puts up more than 11 points. If he does, they could probably get 17, honestly. I think we're going to put up 23, though. So
what is your score? I think we're going to win either way. Just tell me.
Yeah, okay, 23-17.
Okay, all right, well, we kind of have a similar score, Andrew. I have a score of 31-17, the Green Bay Packers beating the Chicago Bears. Their defense isn't good. I think Rodgers wants to go out on top. His thumb seemed to be a little bit better last week. We'll see how he plays with the ribs. But either way, I think the offense has kind of got it figured out. If nothing else, they have Christian Watson figured out that if you literally just throw him the ball, eventually he will score a touchdown for you. So we'll see. On top of that, the Bears don't have a very good defense overall, especially pass or run defense. So give Aaron Jones the ball, give A.J. Dillon the ball, see what happens. Andrew, what is your bold prediction for this game?
My bold prediction is that Aaron Rodgers has over 325 passing yards.
All right. That'll work because I believe he hasn't thrown for over 300 on the season. So 325 is even better.
Says I'm back to run the table.
Yes, we're definitely
take
running
that
the
3%
table.
3% chance into the playoffs.
God. I wonder what I'd like to see the percent chances of us making the playoffs if we win out are. You know, just if that happens.
Dude, it's 97. I sent you the link.
No, but that's not what you said before. You said if we even lose another game, it's 97.
Yeah. So sorry. It's 90. So if we it's 92% if we lose at the Dolphins. If we win out, it's 99%. And the only thing that has to happen for those numbers to be true, there is one other thing that has to happen. I didn't understand this fully the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Giants have to beat the Commanders this week?
Mm. Okay, yeah, I guess
so.
That
if the
makes
Giants,
sense.
If the Giants beat the Commanders this week, and then we go 4-1 with the one loss being the Dolphins, we are in the playoffs.
Okay, well, right now we have the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft, so I guess we'll see. I still don't believe those numbers, but we shall see. My bold prediction for the game, I've talked about him a lot this year. Again, JJ Anagbare, I have him getting 2 sacks and forcing a fumble. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be in there at quarterback, but I've liked what I've seen out of him, and I think he's going to have a big game. We shall see. With that, Andrew, everyone's favorite part, if you could please leave a 5-star review, that would be cool. Andrew, have you left a 5-star review
it's
yet?
It's my favorite part, too.
Are you talking
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking to someone
everyone
else?
No, I was saying it's my favorite part of the podcast as well.
Okay, good save.
But no, I have left a review, and I've harassed every single person I know to also leave a review, so we're covered there.
Perfect. So yeah, if you do that, send us a little screen grab of your review or rating, email it to us at pnppodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at pnppod, and we will send you a free koozie. I still need to send a couple out to Tennessee from our buddies that we met in person.
Some fun fans out there, for real.
Yes. But with that, Andrew, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Nah, let's just see what this weekend brings. So I guess go Giants and go Pack.
Yeah, go Giants, go Pack. And with that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Pack of cigarettes
now. Yeah, you looked at me there. I'll cut this part out. Did you silence your phone?
I did this time I picked it up. Yeah.
This second. Yeah. Okay. Just
could you hear it? Yeah.
Yes. I wanted.
I thought I did, but apparently I silenced like the media, so if I like turn a video on, but not up. Yeah, it's silenced.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me pull this up. All right, you're still there.
No, I'm gone.
Okay, I wish.
Uh-huh.
Ah, good thought, yeah. Crack
that. I had to wait for the right time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Can I...
Yes.
Have a recess here?
Oh, a recess?
I need like a minute.
Okay.
My bladder is full.
Oh, okay.
All right, and I am back to continue the Poor Man's Packers podcast, the number one podcast in the state of our minds.
God. Okay. This is the clip. You're going to play the clip. Do you have it on your phone, Andrew?
Yeah, you sent it to me?
Yeah.
Should I just watch it right now?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play it right now, actually, too, just so.
Because I want to hear it. Like, I want to hear it fresh again before we start talking. So, should I play it?
I'm playing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Not even going down that road.
Why don't you pause it? Because I can hear it better on my phone.
The last
not
two weeks,
pause,
two,
just
what
like
you would call
must
wins.
Well,
yeah, you know, well, your defense
failed
against the pass against Tennessee in all aspects of this last game. Offensively,
are you going on to the...
Yes, special teams time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.